This week's episode of The Unwind is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. You can get 20% off the latest games by going to thecommentist.com and clicking on the banner.
I should have been the one to fill your dark soul with light.
Well, there's your intro. What up, nerds? Welcome to episode 49 of The Unwind, a weekly show where we talk about tech, games, gadgets, and geek culture. My name is Rob Steller.
I'm Sean Thomas.
And I'm Josiah Hills. So we're going to talk about more Apple stuff anyway, so I'll jump right in and just say that, last week they announced the iPhone and iPad and all this stuff, and I'd mentioned that I usually like to watch the actual keynote, in this case, 2.5 hour
keynote. Yeah, that's a big one.
And so I didn't have a chance to do that before the show. So I'll just give a few updates. I know on the last episode I said that I was really pissed off about the Pencil because it doesn't have a clip. That remains the case. I also said I would not buy the Pencil because it didn't have a clip. That's probably no longer true. Because, some of the reviews... So people who know about... using styluses and stuff like that, and they've used some of the professional grade Wacom tablets, the Cintiq model that actually is just it's like a $2,000 second screen,
sure,
that you just draw on. So basically what the iPad Pro is, but the iPad Pro does a lot more because you can install apps and do all this other stuff, and it costs half as much. and they're saying that the Pencil on the iPad Pro rivals those professional grade tablets, mm-hmm, in some areas. And so that sounds really tempting, and I'm just doubtful that the other third-party developers will be able to knock that out of the park like Apple seems to have.
Did you find out if it has palm blocking?
Palm blocking.
Palm injection, whatever it is.
No palm.
It's actually a little hand that just like comes up and blocks you.
Yeah. I haven't seen it explicitly written anywhere, but...
All the demos I've seen, it doesn't look like anyone has their hand resting.
It's hard to say. I think if we had a 3D television, we'd be able to. But I
can't imagine.
The thing is that it's powered, and the only reason you have a powered stylus is for palm rejection, mm-hmm, for the most part. So I'm guessing that it is palm rejection. And then the other thing I want to talk about real quickly, about 2 years ago, I talked about how I was going to... switched to T-Mobile, and it was kind of a nightmare.
Right, yeah.
And not a nightmare in the sense that, like, I just couldn't get coverage everywhere that I drove regularly. And so, I was streaming a lot of music, and my streaming feed would just cut out. So I was like, I can't have this. So after 3 days, I tried to I'd actually bought the phone outright, and I just tried to switch it to AT&T, but they wouldn't unlock the phone. Mm-hmm. But this time around, John Legere has come out with this. Really, it's their marketing team, and then he just tweets about it, right? But the idea is that they have a coverage guarantee plan. So if you don't like their coverage, they will automatically, they'll unlock your phone. Because before it was, even if you bought the phone, I think there was a 60-day window where you couldn't unlock the phone. So I had to return my phone. That was the frustrating thing about it. So in this sense, in this case, this time around, they're going to unlock the phone if you don't like it immediately and pay for your transfer over to another company. So I said, I'll go with T-Mobile again. The other thing is that the new 6S has 700 megahertz LTE antennas. And so that's what T-Mobile's been investing in. And so, in theory, you should actually have better coverage than they did have in the past.
I love to see all the moves that T-Mobile is making because, who knows if I'll end up switching to them. Not to, I want to support them in a way, but they've definitely shaken up the game because a lot of carriers are changing. Now they're getting rid of contracts, and I feel like that was a big push from T-Mobile.
Yeah.
I mean, the only holdout, I believe, is AT&T. And you're just seeing T-Mobile. I mean,
yeah,
this is really shaking.
So it's really exciting. I'm eager to try it out again. And then I tried to order the phone on Saturday morning and went to T-Mobile's website. And they, right across the big, in the center, they have their phone number plastered. And they're like, call our number. Our associates are here to help you pick your iPhone, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it's 4:30 in the morning, four o'clock in the morning. Sure. I think I woke up and it's like, I don't need to call anybody. I tried to do it online. It failed three times. I end up calling once. And at the first time it failed, I called the number and they gave me an order code. And I called it and typed in my order code and they're like, order number not found. Like, okay, great. So I start over and I get further this time and I get to the very last stage where all I need to do is hit submit and it keeps hanging and hanging and it tells me call the number. So I call the number. This time they didn't give me an order number. So I say I don't have an order number and then they tell me, oh, we're closed. Call back during our normal hours. I'm like, they put this on their website right there on the homepage.
Yeah, that's bad.
So I'm not freaking out at this point because, you know, whatever.
But he was freaking out before the podcast.
So I went to just straight up apple.com and literally in 90 seconds I was done. It, like, I don't even remember if I specifically asked for T-Mobile because it just went that fast. I was like, click, click. Wait, did I pick my phone? Because I think they're just Apple this time around. What I suspect is happening is they're just selling you unlocked phones and then you activate it from your house.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And one thing can I say about that? I can't think of a single product launch outside of possibly consoles, but consoles come out one every 5-10 years,
yeah.
Where people, you know, they wake up at 4:30 in the morning, they know they have to get in right when it opens up or whatever time to
correction.
Make sure you order it.
I always wake up at 4:30 in the morning.
True.
Yes, on Saturdays.
But. All right, well, continuing with the Apple theme, this is one topic that we like to visit pretty frequently.
Robert looks so sad.
Why?
Because he's the one talking about Apple.
Well, it's not specifically about Apple. And yes, I am very sad about this. I want to talk about
Why
Microsoft.
Why don't you talk about it on your iPhone, huh?
Well, so now I have a new Microsoft series on YouTube, so you can go check that out. So now that I have all that out of my system, I can talk about other things. So one of the topics we like to address every once in a while, and it's interesting because, well, I'll just say, so cutting the cord, right, and dropping your cable subscription is one thing that we like to talk about, and Josiah obviously cut his cord.
Yes.
Many years ago.
I was born, and I was just like, I'll take care of it, Doc.
You haven't had cables done. For a while.
Probably 6 years.
Wow. Right.
Do you have cable, Sean?
No.
All right, so I'm the only one here with cable, and I pay an obscene amount of money to have cable.
Yeah.
And, you know, given that, it's not something that I use often, like other than live sports and a handful of shows that I could watch online. We'll get into that. You know, you're paying a lot of money. Everybody just kind of goes with it, you know, and it's there. Are a number
and you get bundle packages because most people need internet. So they're thinking,
let me walk that back. I actually do. I think I've said this before. I do have cable right now because of a bundle package. It was like I had just been paying for internet only. And then they called me, and this bundle package was going to take me from, I think, 20 megabits to 100 megabits per second. And it was like $10 more and cable and all this stuff. And I actually bargained. I tried to tell the lady, I don't want cable. And she's like, I have to send you the cable box.
Yeah, that's like I have a home phone, and I have no idea what the number is. Yeah. Actually, funny enough, it's connected to the TV. So I got a pop-up for the first time ever after 3 years of living here that someone was calling. And I was like, I've never seen that before in my life. What is this?
Did you pick it up? Oh, yeah.
No, I don't even know what the phone is. I don't know how to do this. Anyway, so, you know, it's been one thing I've been struggling with for a while. And, you know, we've talked about this for a bunch of times that one of the biggest reasons that makes it hard to cut cable is sports. It's very difficult to get live sports or you have to pay a very large amount. You know,
particularly highlight games.
There's no option.
So that's always been the thing to keep me back. There are, you know, like HBO, you can buy without cable, right? You can just get.
Yeah, happened
or
in
HBO
May
Now?
Of
right.
this year.
Yeah.
HBO Now.
Yeah. So like Game of Thrones is obviously one of the big things, you know, but looking at my normal cable consumption, you know, it's like 4 or 5 channels that I actually watch. Right. So Apple came out with their Apple TV. You know, they talked about a lot of the apps that they're developing for the platform and the other add-ons, I guess, that comes in without besides just watching something or having something on demand.
Yeah.
And one of the intriguing things that they showed off was their MLB app, which lets you see all the different games. I think you can watch two side by side, and then you can see all the games that are available and just kind of pick and watch whichever ones you want.
Yeah, and the stats are on the side there.
Yeah. Which Xbox does, I think, just with NFL. They have some kind of deal where they have like fantasy stats and, and other things like that. So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about what's still holding me back. You know, are we there yet? And what's going to be, what's missing? Like, what is it going to take for me to finally be like, okay, I can finally do this? I mean, you know, even just like, so I was worried, for example, of just not being able to flip around the channels and just channel surf. And we were talking like, and we were talking this before the show, and you know, like Netflix isn't the same. So since there's, you know, no feed of the video before you select something, I'll spend an hour just flipping through the names of movies and then not watch anything. So I don't know if that's better or worse. But
I feel like Netflix flipping has never worked. Every place I've been where we flipped through Netflix is just, I don't want to watch that. What about this? I don't want to watch it. Recommended for you. What?
So one of the things that I think would help, right, is if they had some kind of a la carte system where I could pick five channels that I actually care about and have shows that I watch that I could pay, you know, a few bucks a month or whatever to get. But then it comes, it adds up quickly, right? So I think, what is it, the CBS app we were talking about?
Yeah, so, you know, we were talking about this. They don't have people are kind of hinting at that they're going to have some kind of bundle deal, a package, whatever, if it's 20 channels, kind of like Sling or something like that, maybe, or maybe even a la carte. But it's kind of happening de facto if the content developers want it to happen, right? So CBS has this app that I think it's $5 a month or something like that. And, you know, it gets you basically the same thing that you'd get from their website, but the back episodes and live viewing, right? So if I go to CBS.com, I can watch all the old shows up to like four or five episodes. Right,
a lot of
and
networks have
new shows will be 2 or 3 days late.
Yeah.
So now when you pay the money, you get everything up to date and all the back episodes.
It's crazy. Some of those services are really great. I don't have it, but I heard most of the big leagues have, like sports leagues have apps. NHL app, I mean, you can go back, I want to say 10, maybe 20 years worth of games.
Really?
You can just watch tons of games. I might be wrong on 20 years, but you can go pretty far back and watch
games. I didn't even know that was a feature, though, of the sports apps to watch old games.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I don't even know how they store that. That's like, that's a lot, especially, you know, you go to basketball, how many games a year they have. Or sorry, baseball. Baseball is even crazier. I don't know how their app is, but yeah.
So I used to think that the a la carte system was what I was waiting for, right? But, you know, if you're talking about $5 for channels like CBS or NBC or something like that, and then you're talking about probably 10 for things that are off basic cable, and then what does HBO go, 15 I think a month?
I'd have to double
something
check.
Like that, right? So I mean, even if you're talking about 5 or 6 channels, you're already getting close to what I'm paying for cable anyway. So clearly, and then if you talk about sports, you know, a lot of the sports subscription packages are probably twice that. So clearly, that's not the answer I'm waiting for. And I think we were talking a little bit about Sling, where it's just, how much? Do you know how much it is?
$20 a month.
Right, and they offer 20 channels about. Right? So I think,
and then they have little add-on packages.
So I think that's kind of what I would need, just that they would need exactly the channels that I
think
want.
The problem is the channels that you want to watch are very specific. So we should mention, like, the channels he would want are like BN Sports, because there are certain soccer games you can't
outside
get
of sports. Outside of sports, so like AMC is one is big.
AMC's
one.
On Sling.
Okay, and then HBO, which obviously you can get outside of it anyway, and then like TBS. And probably the basic cable channels.
So, well, basic cable is different. It is not on Sling, but you can get it over the air for free. The only issue is there's no integration. So basically, even if you get it over the air, you'll probably have to switch to your antenna signal.
Yeah, but a lot of those, I think all of them, they have on demand on their website where you can watch the last 5 episodes or something like that.
Yeah.
And those are shows that I don't care about. Like, the only shows I really care about watching live are probably Walking Dead and Game of Thrones. Because I know people will spoil the shit out of those shows.
Well, I guess, I mean, so this is like a mini problem, but if you're using Sling, I mean, I guess you go into the Sling app and then you can watch from there. But it's also nice if it was just all integrated. You don't have to flip back and forth between things. Apple TVs can have universal search, so that's a lot better.
But you still kind of need to know what you want to watch.
Yeah,
right?
So it's
surfing.
Like, sometimes it's just nice to have it all together and just not have
to. And I mean, I totally get the concept of channel surfing. I was a king at it, Hang Ten, right? But when I was a kid. But like I said, after cutting the cord, my media consumption is very deliberate. Yeah. And I was never really the type of person to just have the TV on in the background while I'm doing stuff, unless, you know, I'm half watching something on purpose. So, like tonight, I might be watching the presidential debates if I get home soon enough. And that I might have in the background while I'm doing other things, right? And that, by the way, is hosted by CNN. The first one was hosted by Fox earlier in the summer. And both of them, you don't need a cable subscription to watch them. The Fox one was a catastrophic fail. Like the first hour 15 minutes of it, you couldn't watch it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's terrible.
And I saw like the last maybe 25 minutes of it.
You probably didn't want to watch it anyway. Zing.
No, I wanted to watch it. I think it was going to be like a train wreck in slow motion, and it kind of was. So anyhow. I don't know where I was going with
that. So, yeah, but like channels like AMC, TNT is the other one where there are a few. Falling Skies ended, so now I don't care about that one. But like you needed, they have all the shows on the sites, but you have to have a cable subscription to actually access them, right?
Here's the problem. So Sling is about 20 channels for $20. That's $1 a channel.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense a la carte. I don't think we'll ever get prices low where every channel is $1. I mean, obviously it'll vary too. Like ESPN can charge more for their content.
Well, but I think down the road. So if you get off cable, right? Because right now cable, like, so the current business model with cable is that the cable companies are paying the content providers big bucks for their channels, right? And then there's, on top of that, I think there's like a per subscriber type bonus type thing, right? Tiered bonuses, et cetera. So for popular channels. But the thing is, a lot of the content providers, there's only, what, four or five companies. There's like Viacom, NBC, Universal.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of companies out there. So if there were a platform that was widespread enough, it doesn't have to be like everybody owns an Apple TV, but if the business model was whether you have an Apple TV or a Roku or whatever, and pretty much everybody has a streaming device that can sell subscriptions, then yeah, you could go to a la carte, because it doesn't matter if the Food Network is $2 and ESPN is $10, if it's all going to the, I don't think they're owned by the same company, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if Disney Channel is $5 and ABC is $2, it's all the same company.
Yeah.
So they could do that if they wanted to, if they had a large enough reach with their apps.
How do you think, if that became our new world, how do you think new channels would be created? Since obviously they're not getting cross-subsidized. So I guess would all the investment be on part of the content creator and they just have to push and hope that people are going to start subscribing?
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. Like when you, with the internet, right, you have all these weird, bizarre things, whatever the medium is. You have all these weird, bizarre websites and
like thecommentist.com, where you can find great podcasts.
Yeah, because they can be supported, right? So you can have these experimental things as long as the platform is large enough. So like I'm saying, I don't think we're ever going to get to, you know, 200 million Apple TVs in households. But if there were 200 million streaming devices in American households, then potentially, yeah, these content providers could do this, and you could have a weird channel pop up like, I don't know, TLC. It doesn't just even stand for the eggs. Learning channel anymore. It's just like
it's TLC.
You know, random stuff. So Sharknado channel.
I do want to say, well, this is kind of unrelated, but recently there's a big deal. I don't know if anybody watches the Weather Channel much, but if you've been watching it, you realize it's become a lot more sensational and a lot more reality shows.
I'm terrified every time I watch it.
Yeah, they really always talk about how everything's a big storm. Yeah. Apparently recently there was basically an internal struggle between basically the meteorologists and the people who wanted reality TV shows, and the meteorologists won. So they're going to be showing a lot more weather and things like that, and it's going to be a lot less of these, like, you know, kind of trying to get viewers from different places kind of thing. So
yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, and again, like, I this doesn't really leave me in a better place than when we started this conversation. Like, I don't think I'm any closer to cutting cable. It would be nice to not.
Well, so what are the apps or the stations that you'd need? Fox Sports?
Well, it's all the sports ones. So like, I need Fox Sports because
you can get that on Sling.
Fox Sports. I need NBC Sports, which is a huge one because they do all the Premier League games.
Okay.
And then I need ESPN.
Yeah. So oh, it see, sounds like see, Sling need... and NBC Sports. I don't know if they have an app or.
So I think Sling has those. One of them they don't have. They either don't have BeIN or they don't have Fox Sports. I think they don't. I think they have BeIN and they don't have Fox Sports. It's an add-on package, but it's only $5 a month, which, I mean, that's $25 total. I think you would totally pay for that.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
And there's one, though. But, yeah, this is the other problem. So they get – I've said that the Sling's lineup is really good. They have a lot of the channels that I would watch, but there's always that feeling for a lot of people – it's missing that one channel you want. Yeah. And if you can't add it on, then it ruins the entire bundle for you because you're like, well, I just don't need the rest. And then it goes back to a la carte. But then, I mean, I mean, you presented an interesting idea, but if they don't go that way, like, I can't imagine a situation in which they can really sell it cheap enough where you can have a good package for all the channels.
Yeah. I think, you know, the model actually already exists now that I think about it in other media, right? If you look at comic books, you know, not every comic book sold is an X-Men, but it all goes to Marvel. Right?
Sure.
Not everything is Avengers. They've got Squirrel Girl, right? who the hell buys Squirrel Girl? But apparently they can make that comic book because, you know, it's subsidized by the content provider. And even magazines, you know, you've got Condé Nast that publishes a bunch of different magazines, and not all of them are blockbusters, but it's all going to the same place. So, you know, it's an option out there. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, it's exciting that things are starting to happen with, like, HBO Now kind of kicked it off. Yep. And I think CBS followed suit. I think Univision announced something. Obviously, I'm not Spanish speaking, so I don't really watch Univision that much. But
make up words? what is it, dubbing it?
Yeah. You know, clearly it's a big segment of the population, and they do some sports there. So, like, when World Cup is around and stuff like that, I'll watch. I actually prefer to watch some of the soccer games.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
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 But anyway, we'll see what happens. I think the final is that I'm not cutting the cord yet, which is not really sad to me because I want to do it so badly.
That's sports, that's the thing.
Yeah, we'll see if Apple can pull something together in maybe the next 6 months.
Now, wouldn't that be a turnaround if I got an Apple TV?
So on to the next topic. I kind of teased this topic in our last episode after we...
Such a tease.
After we interviewed the gentleman from Flying Helmet Studios about Ian Alter. And that is, I want to talk a little bit about the state of digital media, so apps, e-books, etc., for role-playing games. And I mean specifically tabletop role-playing games.
Mm-hmm.
So... literally, I did a search. So we kind of brainstormed at lunch today at work,
You're missing out, Sean.
And then I did this search. So I searched for Dungeons and Dragons. I searched for Vampire the Masquerade, and you know, Vampire the Masquerade, White Wolf makes werewolf and a couple other mage and etc. But Vampire is the big one. So I just searched for Vampire. I searched for Pathfinder. I searched for 13th Age. I searched for Shadowrun. I searched for Dresden Files. I looked at apps and role-playing, apps and e-books. Absolutely nothing from the original publishers.
Wow.
Pathfinder, I found a few apps, and that's because it's based on 3.5 edition Dungeons & Dragons rules, which were kind of like open source,
yeah.
Kind of, right? So there are some apps out there that are just random people who have made stuff specific for like DMs or character sheets for Pathfinder, but literally that was it. Absolutely nothing from the publishers. The only thing that comes up on ebooks are basically novels that use the world. So lots, obviously, for Dresden Files, and Pathfinder had a bunch, and Dungeons and Dragons obviously had a bunch of books, but that's it.
That's
so I will say, Wizards of the Coast did create, I don't know if they did it or if they just like paid somebody to do it, I can't remember, but they put out an
character
app.
Creator.
Well, they put out,
it was
they
a web
out,
app.
Yeah, yeah. So, no. It was when you download it, actually.
Oh, okay. So but desktop only.
Yeah,
right?
It was a desktop, maybe just Windows app, where you could go through the character creation process, and it would basically fill in all the stats for you. So, you know, you choose the race, you choose da-da-da. And then as they came out with new additions of it and added more classes and races, they would add to this also. And it was actually really good and super helpful for when we were starting out,
yeah,
because it's a pretty difficult process to go through. So that was actually really good. And I remember when fifth edition came out, asking, like, emailing them and being like, hey, this is an awesome tool. Are you going to create this for fifth edition? And they're like, no.
Yeah. And didn't they actually refund you?
They did. Yeah. Cause I paid for this year subscription thinking that they would just add
how
on to
insane
it
is that?
I do not.
They have a model that people are very excited about. And really all they have to do is look at the, you know, 10, 15 years worth of licensed video games, Baldur's Gate 1 and 2, yeah. Neverwinter Night, and just take the character creation thing and spit out a little image of, you know, use the character creation tools there. And you don't have to make the rest of the game. Just print that shit out, right? And people will pay for that.
They have all
and,
the artwork,
and they
too,
decided to refund a paying customer rather than say, yes, we're going to rework the rules. I just think there's absolutely no vision as far as what their digital footprint is.
And they're nerds. They know how to use computers. They should be, this actually seems like the problem where they would all be sitting like, wow, it'd be really great if I had an app for this.
Yeah.
Like the one thing, so for my character in our Roll to Hit podcast, I mean, I use a character creator or a character sheet on my phone because I just prefer that because I hated literally erasing everything on a sheet of paper. It just took forever every time. And the app is made by some random guy. I mean, it's an okay app.
And as long as he stays on the radar, he's fine. But there have been, past practice where Wizards of the Coast has sued people.
Really?
Yeah, actually, there was a, it happened with Roll20.net, I think.
Oh, really?
It was one of them. There's one on Steam. I forget what it's called. But so there's an app on Steam and there's a... and there's Roll20, I might be confusing the two, but one of them actually published 5th edition rules. They got a cease and desist letter, and then after some silence, Wizards of the Coast endorsed them, and I assume there's some
Steam,
there's profit
Steam
sharing there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But, I mean,
just
you know,
make one.
At
they
least
have
do
it.
More of that, you know?
Either that or just have... find one that's good and just license it.
Yeah.
And especially, I mean, yeah, you just can't release a new edition. Like, it seems like the perfect time to put out something
well,
like
Well, the crazy
this.
Thing is fifth edition was meant to be getting new players into this. That
right.
was the whole thing was they made
And
they
I've heard it.
It.
I've heard of all these new podcasts and things that are coming up.
Well, the whole thing was they were stripping complexity around the rules and things like that.
Yeah.
They streamlined everything. It was supposed to be a lot more approachable than fourth edition was. And
I forget what they call it, but like let's just say they if they published an ebook on Amazon, right, on the Kindle. So the Kindle has this feature, I think it's called X-ray or something like that, where you can see what other people have bookmarked.
Oh, that's cool.
And, like, Wizards of the Coast wouldn't have to do anything. just convert their document into an EPUB, right, and release that on the Kindle store as a self-published thing. They don't even have to make a deal with Amazon.
Yeah.
And the users would get that huge benefit of bookmarking their own things and then seeing what other DMs potentially have bookmarked and leaving comments for each other. It's almost in that sense like Dark Souls, right? Where you leave a little comment for the other people. So, I mean, that would be hugely beneficial.
Yeah.
And even when they release the preview, right? They actually release that as a PDF.
Really? That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Don't we
yeah,
have
right.
we have
you're
that
right.
as a PDF
you're right.
like
you're
when
right.
they were piloting it and then they just didn't release a PDF for the actual book.
I don't know.
So bizarre to me.
But it's crazy because it's not just Wizards of the Coast. It's every it's across the board. No
one's
doing
I think
it.
We did a fairly comprehensive search of some of the most popular games out there right now and nobody's paying attention to this stuff. Same thing. So you have the app for your character sheet. Rob and I, we use note-taking apps that have touch-sensitive on our touch devices so we can write on them.
Yeah.
Right? So you're using OneNote.
Yeah.
And I'm using Notability on my iPad. So it's just bizarre to me. Really bizarre, and it's really frustrating. Somebody I know, I won't say his name, but he would love to pay for digital versions, but he basically pirates the version.
Yeah.
I mean, between our group, we have one set of hardcover books that we pass around.
Yeah.
But I think if we could get digital copies, every single one of us, except for Sean, would pay for it.
I mean, what I ended up doing is taking a picture of the pages related to me and pasting it in OneNote.
Yeah.
And so I can just, it's essentially bookmarking it, right? So I know where all of my character stuff is.
The one thing about books that feels so antiquated is that I can't hit Control F and find what I want.
Exactly.
I have to flip that's and forth the biggest and back and forth.
More than, I mean, you know, that's the whole point about a reference book.
Yeah.
Right? More than any other type of book, reference books are screaming to be digitized. And the way publishing works these days, they have a digital copy right now. And it's been out for almost a year. I guess the official release was back in January of 2015.
Yeah, so, somewhere on there.
So not quite a year, but, you know, I think it's pretty ridiculous.
So we're going to start a petition on change.org, petition Wizard of the Coast to make a digital version?
Yeah, we can tweet at them with this podcast and this episode and just say, hey, where's my ebook?
Let's get them on the show.
They're leaving money on the table. They're leaving new players and new generations of participants in their game, new enthusiasts.
So that's actually the biggest piece to me.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, obviously I said this already, you know, just trying to get new players in, right? And I think unless you have somebody who has some experience playing D&D before, coming into this, getting all three of the books you really need and having to digest all that, make sense of it, and, you know, like, you know, unless you're relying heavily on forums and you know, other resources online that are fan-generated, you know, I think it'd be very, very difficult to come into one of these RPGs and start from scratch.
Two good examples of that is, so with this app, one of my favorite things is when I level up, it literally tells me, okay, so where do you want to add points to? What spells do you want to add? Whatever.
Yeah.
In the book, I mean, it lays it out, but you have to flip between different things. You got to go to paladin spells, and you got to figure out of these sections. Like, you have to go to all these different sections, whereas the app just lays out. I mean, it takes everything, all the fluff out. And the same kind of goes with Hearthstone. One thing I really liked about Hearthstone is obviously this is the advantage of a digital game. It's doing all the calculations for you.
Yeah.
So there's no situation in which you're like, you're unsure about the rules because the game's figuring it out for you.
Right.
Obviously you don't want to take too much away, especially D&D is a very DM, you know, built game, but leveling up this kind of standardized stuff, I would love to have something, like you said, to get new players in. I mean, if they could hit level up on their phone and it just told them what to do, it'd be so much easier.
Yeah. Well, to have the option, and it would be so easy to provide all that spectrum of, yes, you get to roll the dice, to here's a recommendation, to here's what's trending, to just do it for you, right? And all of that is pretty much the same thing. Yeah. Like, they can program that stuff very, very quickly because it already exists in the counterpart to tabletop in actual console games and desktop games. So, really frustrating. I hope they figure it out soon. Or, you know, Rob and I were talking, maybe we'll just make our new role-playing game that's digital from the start.
Yes. We're doing it.
I like that.
The guys last week inspired me to start some kind of gaming company, so that's happening. All right, so let's go to the change-up, which is brought to you by Green Man Gaming. Just for you listeners, you can get 20% off the latest game. So, for example, Fallout 4 is coming up.
Ooh,
and you can get 20% off the new price, which is ridiculous. If you go to thecommentist.com, our website, a little ways down the page is a banner, and it shows you the voucher code that you can put in to get 20% off new games. So the change up this week is going back to the first topic of the day. What are you currently watching and how are you watching it?
Yep. So I'll jump in. I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 2 on Netflix. So I'm always a season behind because I'm watching it on Netflix.
Yep.
But Netflix actually has this deal with Disney that starting in 2016, they're going to get stuff earlier than DVD release. And I think some of the seasons, so they already have the precedent with Daredevil. They're getting a new series for Marvel, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on Netflix and I'm really liking it. It's interesting because I watched the first season last year and I saw how they tied it into the movies. And so they're keeping in line. They're doing the same thing. And they're actually introducing some of the smaller subplots and lesser known characters in the Marvel Universe. And it's building up for the Infinity Gauntlet series.
Like
they introduced this alien race called the Kree. Mm-hmm. And they introduced the Inhumans. And, you know, minor changes here and there from the comic book, but still really cool stuff. So, enjoying it.
So, the only show, this is going to sound funny, the show I watch live, because there's no digital version of it, is I'm really into European football, so I watch ESPN FC.
Oh, yeah.
And right. I watch it, I connect it to my TV using Chromecast because the ESPN app on my phone has the Chromecast button, so it's super easy. I just hit the button and then it goes on my TV. You do have to have a cable subscription, so I do bum off somebody else at this podcast to use that.
I had no idea that was happening.
But that's basically, and it's weird because
I'm charging you.
It's the only show that I watch live because they don't have a digital version. So I have to, I mean, a lot, like I missed it today because of this, and it's on at 6 o'clock and I just have to watch it. And
yeah,
but it's the Chromecast.
The picture is pretty clear as long as
you have a fast enough internet connection. And I actually, the funny thing is, I have a pretty bad signal because there's just too many walls. And I have the slightly older Chromecast, so it only has 2.4 gigahertz band. The new ones have 5 gigahertz as well.
Oh, okay.
And it still streams really, really well. The picture is extremely clear. It's like slightly below HD, definitely better than SD. But it looks great. And honestly, with ESPN, all their channels are online. So you can just watch whatever you want just as live TV, and it's great.
Clearly, I need to change my passwords. So I think I mentioned a couple episodes ago that all of my sci-fi shows ended in one day.
Yeah.
So that was a little depressing. I have been checking out Fear the Walking Dead, which is the Walking Dead spinoff show that takes place.
How many episodes are they in? Two?
I think there are three in now. Yeah. I think there's only six, so we're halfway through.
Oh, wow.
I think
short.
It's a short. Okay. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, yeah. Obviously I'm watching it on cable. I do watch it live, cause it's one of the two shows I actually watch live, and it's not the same. It's not, yeah. I think it would have been very hard to create something that's as good, especially when you know all of this, like you kind of know how the zombies came about, like, yeah. You know, a lot of what's the situation. And I think going back in time now and knowing what you know, you're like, oh, well, that's stupid. You shouldn't walk up to the zombie and try to hug it. Like,
right.
Come on. Like, let's be real. So, you know, you kind of have to try to forget what you already know and try to experience it for the first time with them. Like, I like the premise of it where you actually get to see how everything, you know, blew up and how everything hit the fan. So I like that premise of it. I just think that, you know, we know too much now going into this. And to be honest, like, if I didn't watch The Walking Dead, I don't think I would be able to watch this as a standalone show. I don't think it's that good. But it, at the very least, it holds me over until Walking Dead starts, which is coming up.
When you watched Walking Dead, you started watching it with your dad, right?
So I actually started watching it in the second or third season. So okay. I went back and watched the first season or two and caught up.
But I mean, within the first three episodes, like, did it grip you,
it got me right
because it was second season. So that's what I'm getting at, right? Like, you didn't watch it from the very first three episodes of the first season,
right?
Maybe it's just a slow build.
I think I did start from the first episode though.
Oh, okay.
Like, I didn't start in the second season and then go back. I think I saw like 5 minutes of it, and my dad was like, "You need to just watch this." So we sat down and we watched like the first three episodes in a row or something like that. I mean, Game of Thrones is the other show too, where, you know, like two episodes in, I was like, well, I guess I'm watching this whole thing in one day, and that happened. So anyway, let's move on to our last topic of the day.
So recently, the next expansion for Destiny came out, The Taken King.
Yeah.
And that, playing Destiny through, so Rob and I have played it.
One thing really quickly. So I've admitted several times on this show alone that I don't watch TV. And I was at a friend's house, and they had the TV on in the background. And I saw the commercial for Taken King.
Yeah.
And I was just blown away that, like, it was primetime television.
Oh,
they were showing game commercials.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
also,
this was happening.
Real they quick, made a lot of money.
They had a really cool marketing scheme where you put in your character name or your ID tag or whatever on the website, and they actually make a video using the stats from your character and stuff. And
oh,
it says,
really?
Like, Robbie Stills, like, 800 kills, top 2%. Apparently, I'm pretty good at Destiny. Like,
top 2%?
It was, like, top 2%. Kills of Cabal and like this. It was like a very, you know how I like to say it's the best of something? It's very, very specific stats, but I'm very good at those things. So
the Cabal Hunter.
But anyway, I thought it was a pretty cool marketing tactic where you actually become part of the ad.
Yeah.
I mean, smart. But this shows how big this game is. I mean, it had a big investment at the beginning, but it has made a lot of money.
So I will say a lot of criticism.
Yeah. Too,
so right? I think part of the reason was like it came out still fairly early on the new consoles, and it was one of like the hyped games early on.
But I don't want to say just that because I've heard of a lot of people have put hundreds and hundreds of hours. Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox Games, has recorded like over 200 hours in Destiny.
I probably have well over 70 in that.
Really?
Probably. Yeah.
So this is what I want. What I wanted to get at is gaming and addiction. I don't mean from a mental health perspective. I don't want to get too much into that, but or this idea of this gameplay cycle. So the reason why I bring up Destiny is because when you play the game, there is probably 10, maybe 15 hours of content in the first game. I mean, there were expansions, but that's it. People have played hundreds of hours of it, and there are weekly quests and things
not,
like that.
Not just the multiplayer too, like the actual. Not just the PvP, right? You're talking about the actual quests that are in the game.
And literally, what you do, and this is what frustrated me. So I was trying to get higher and higher level, but once you beat the quote unquote game, you just keep replaying the same exact missions and hoping you get better loot so you can go up a level. There are daily quests and weekly quests, so there is some more content, but generally, all the content is literally you play the same ones constantly.
The other thing about that too is you'll have like two or three missions in a row that have the same path. You just go a little bit farther in it. Like it's the first part of it will be exactly the same.
Oh yeah. And then
you just go to like the next part of that.
Yeah. And that's place. Literally, like, not to mention the fact that the quests themselves are super boring. You just run up, you hit square so that Dinklebot now it's Nolanbot. he will pop out and scan something. And that's literally what you do every time.
RIP Dinklebot.
But the thing is, it is not uncommon to see people who have played hundreds and hundreds of hours of this. At least WoW and things, you think about how much content there is. So I relate this, and then I think of even more base games, like a lot of mobile games, and I think the best example of this are games like Cookie Clicker. Like, have they perfected how to get people to just play a game? Like,
every time I see my brother on the computer, he's got both Cookie Clicker and Clicker Heroes. Is that the other one?
Yeah,
he's got two versions of it going. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it, like, kills his RAM, so he can't do anything on his computer.
So I should mention, for those who don't know what Cookie Clicker is, literally, it's basically, Cookie Clicker I'll start with. It's basically the game where, I don't know, you click
it is
on the
exactly
screen.
What it sounds like.
You click on the screen and it creates a cookie, and it's just a point on the screen. And basically, as you get more cookies, you can buy more items that allow you to create more cookies and get power-ups and things like that. You get all these things. But literally, this game, they have, when they say graphics, there's literally just an animated picture on there. There's no game in the sense that you're moving around. There's no characters, well, grandmas or anything like that.
It's pure gamification.
And it's weirdly addicting, and it's the same. This whole you get this high from, in Destiny you get a new weapon, something like that. Destiny amazes me because it's
loot drops. It's always loot drops. It's that hidden reward. It's the same as slot machines, right? It's the same as any kind of gambling. It's will I get something?
Yeah.
I don't always get something, but maybe this time I'll get something, and that's a very powerful natural feedback loop in your brain. And so, you know, marketing and stuff like that has tapped into this. And so there's that element of the game or that element of brain science in games. So you describing Destiny, like I didn't play it because I'm not really into shooters. So I didn't know that much about it. But apparently, it's just like Diablo. You described Diablo as a first-person shooter.
Sure. But even
at least in Diablo 2 and... Diablo 3 definitely has randomly generating maps. So at the very least, it's not the same thing. But Diablo 2 and 1, it's the same thing. It's just loot drop.
But it's just crazy to me that they've not only perfected it. I mean, this also encourages doing the same thing. Like I said, there are other games that do loot drops, but Destiny, to me, there's something so basic about it in that I literally was like, you know, even in MMOs that I've played where it's just fetch quests, at least they change what you're fetching, something. I mean, don't get me wrong, I still get bored of it, but Destiny, it is literally the same thing I'm playing every time, and it blows me away when I hear people have 200, 300, 400 hours worth of playing.
Have you played the raids, though?
I have not played the raids. So they do have other content. So this is a complete different subject, but it did annoy me that the game, it's Bungie. They've been, most of their single player campaigns have been pretty lengthy. Halo was a full campaign. So it annoyed me how little content there actually was. And now they charge for expansions. Right now, you get the first game if you paid $60 initially, two expansions, $20 each, and then The Taken King is $40. So you could have potentially
spent $140. Is absurd to me. Like, it just, it's way too much.
But people will buy it because...
I didn't read the full reviews, but I've heard people say like they tweaked a lot of stuff in the formula, so it's much better.
Yes. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
It's without a doubt a better game, but there's this feeling that the things they tweaked should have... I don't want this to turn into a Destiny critique show, but it's a thing that they should have had initially. Like, for example, they revamped quests. And the thing is, the quests were terrible in Destiny.
I don't get how they changed that.
Well, one thing, you can access it easier. That's just a simple thing. You don't have to always go up to the
quest itself.
So I'm sorry. That's something they should have had from the beginning. But from my understanding is, I haven't played it, obviously, but the quests themselves are more in-depth. You actually do things.
We gotta play that this weekend.
One thing I should mention, I'm not kidding at all, when every mission was, you walk up, you hit square to let out the little robot. I call it Dinklebot, but there's the ghost.
The ghost.
It comes out, and you defend the area for a little bit. And he's invulnerable, so you're really just trying to stay alive.
Right.
Every single quest
either
was
that. There's a big ball. It's either waves or a bullet sponge at the end of it.
Yeah. They always had a bullet sponge, which literally, it was just, it's the same thing you're doing. It's just for a long time, you have to keep shooting it. It was crazy.
What they got right they were. Was that they, the only way to get, so the whole light levels thing, which is basically once you hit an XP cap and the only way you get above
at level 20.
Level, I thought it was 30.
20.
So anyway, the only way you get above level 20 is by getting armor with this light, right?
Yeah.
The only way to get this armor with light is either to find it randomly or to get these strange coins, which you got by doing the daily and weekly quests, which is why so many people paid so many hours of it.
Yeah.
It's because the only way you could level up is by playing these. You had to go on every single day and play all these quests.
Yeah.
And every single week to do the big nightfall. Is that what the weekly one was?
I forgot what it, yeah, I think so. And I remember there's, when you talk about strange coins, that's how you buy some special weapons too. I can't think of a name. Yeah, at Zora's shop, I can't think of the rocket launcher that is easily the
Galahorn.
Best. Yeah, Galahorn. It was huge news. Every gaming site was covering it because it was by far the best. And people, I mean, it was hilarious. They showed where people would, like, a father would tell his kid, hey, I really need you to do this. I'm on vacation right now. Just turn on my PS3.
But the kid wasn't a gamer, which is the funny thing.
Yeah, exactly. And you see people tweeting, like, this is the day I go to the beach. It's the day the Galahorn's available, finally.
My internet's out or something ridiculous like that.
But it shows how, I mean, I guess I'm in a way I'm happy for Bungie, but in another way I feel like I just wish there was just more content. I mean, you think of, even though admittedly I didn't love it, The Witcher 3, they built so much content.
Yeah,
and it was
amazing.
Like, I mean, the gaming budget they put out recently, it was $80 million compared to Destiny, which is like, they said $500 million, although that's like a platform. So let's, even if it was $200 million, I mean, so many times.
What the guys at CD Projekt Red were able to do with $80 million is absurd.
And it's not like Bungie doesn't have the pedigree. Like, it's I know CD Projekt Red isn't a new company by any means, but Bungie isn't either. It just blows me away that they put so much little content, sold so well because people love that, just that gameplay cycle. They're just going to go back, and it encourages these kind of things. Mobile games are even more of this. And the cool thing about mobile games is it's turn people who do not play games
Marvel
into gamers.
Quest.
You could argue that the people who are gamers are mostly just mobile gamers. They don't really convert over to regular video games. But it is interesting. I know so many people who play these games. I mean,
it's actually like Hearthstone. I hear a lot of people who I would not expect to play are like, oh yeah, like I know four people that play that. And I'm
crazy.
That's surprising because they're not, you know, traditional gamers, I guess, in that
but
sense.
Hearthstone is good. So
it's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's like Hearthstone is definitely a grade above, you know, Bejeweled clones.
exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. I hope at some point, just as a gamer, I hope we can get out of this cycle to a degree.
Well, I mean, let's look at what are the addictive qualities, right? So we already identified loot drops, this idea of something exciting might happen. So
daily quests is
so another one. Daily quests, which are grinding, right?
Yep.
This idea of grinding, building towards a larger goal. This other idea of content, you know, so story or new interesting places, exploration, that sort of thing. So you want to see what happens next. And then there's also this idea of competition. So that's when you get into MOBAs and RTSs and even some PvP, you know, whatever it is, WoW or first-person shooters, where you're trying to put yourself against another opponent,
yeah.
a live
yeah.
person, and seeing what happens. Can you improve your skill? And then this other final concept of, what was it? I'm going to have to edit this out because I can't remember.
Leveling up.
That's the grind where you're accruing resources.
I'm a sucker for leveling up. Like,
yeah.
Who hasn't spent that extra hour? Cause you're like, all right, I'm really close. And then for whatever reason, it just takes you a long time to get there. And you're like, well, I just want to get this before I go to bed.
Right.
And you see the differences in games that quickly. Some games, I've seen a lot of games that make it extremely easy to get to say level 10. So you get that feeling when you start the game.
Yep.
And then they also, but that's
any,
a different
any
thing.
MMO. Yeah.
Yeah. Some games, I mean, games usually have high levels.
Tabletop RPGs are like that too, right? True. We got to level 5 or level 4 or whatever, and now it's a long slog. So the other thing I was thinking is that idea of what is next, and sometimes it can come from story, but also you reminded me of Civilization 5. So when that game came out, I think one of the marketing slogans was one more turn. Right, because you just wanted to set up your thing and see
just
what the simulation was going to give you.
Yeah.
And it was just one more turn until 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. And you tapped out. So, all this stuff is known and within reason, within a balance, it's good fun. But when does it become part of the machine, money-making machine, you know? And there have been complaints about WoW regarding that. There have been complaints about Diablo with just the loot drops, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, ideally, I think you want this to be driven by content, right?
Yeah, and that's the hope. I mean, I don't want to get into this now, but there's that argument that in a way, single-player games are sort of dying to a degree, and there's so many MMOs and free-to-play games that are, because they're uber successful, and almost every MMO is built on this idea. It's about loot and quests, most of them being simple, but I guess League and Dota are different. I mean, it's definitely not loot drops or anything like that. And those are huge games, so you can't discount that. But the free-to-play space is doing extremely well, and a lot of them, I mean, even think Call of Duty. I mean, there was a big deal when they added in basically a leveling system where you have to gain experience to get weapons, which first-person shooters seem like the last place you'd see an experience-based system, but people really like it. People like prestiging and things like that.
All right, so that is going to do it for this week's episode of The Unwind. Thank you so much for listening. You can subscribe to us on the iTunes and Stitcher. We now have our YouTube set up, so you can find that by going to YouTube and searching for The Commentist. We have a video of the three of us playing Aeon Alter before the interview that we had last week that was a lot of fun and worth watching. I also have a new series called The Microsoft Fanboy that is debuting last week. I'm very excited about. So please share us with your friends, leave some comments. You can submit questions and topics by going to theunwind.audio. And you can also check out the three of us and a couple of our other friends on our D&D podcast called Roll to Hit. And we'll see you next week.
Do you think Apple will ever make a TV in the shape of an apple? That would be cool.
I would eat it.